This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone, and welcome back to ASI's weekly question and answer session with Sheikh Akram Nadwi, which occurs every Thursday at 8 p.m. GMT. I'm your new host for today. My name's Khidr. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the channel for more news, information, and content. So let's dive straight into the questions. Sheikh, today the first question that we have...
Khalid, if you can say a little loudly and display the question.
Yes, of course. Is it better now?
Yeah, this is better now, yeah.
Okay, yes, of course. So I'll show the first question. So the first question is from Fariha, who has asked, is it makruh to close eyes during salah to gain more concentration?
Yeah, thing is, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when people pray, it is very important that they concentrate. You know, whatever they say, they understand. And, their hearts move, their mind is there, they are present there. So this is very, very important. And also the thing is, when you concentrate, it's all a mind thing. Some people think if they close the eye, they will have more concentration. No, actually, you not need to focus. You need to think. Like, for example, many times in the life, your eyes are open. Sometimes you have so much worry, so you can't see anything. So similarly, when you are praying, think about what you read, about the action that you do. So that will help you to concentrate. Closing the eye, it doesn't help actually anyway. Maybe for some people. So that is better to avoid closing the eye. But anyway, some people say, if it helps you to concentrate, you can close the eye. But the best thing is to practice like normal thing, like the Prophet used to do. Don't close your eye, open your eye, and force yourself to understand and think.
Okay, Jazakallahu khair. Yes, Jazakallahu khair, Sheikh. I'll move on to the next question, which is from Abdurrahman, who asks, a small amount of interest money is automatically credited to our bank account. What should I do with this money? Can I give it as sadaqah?
Don't make any intention of sadaqah. Sadaqah is, a reward and thawab and ajr. That is for the path of Allah. You don't give in the path of Allah something dirty. But give to the poor without any intention, just to help them. But don't make intention to get any reward. So that's what you do. Don't make intention for the reward.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question, also by Abdurrahman, is, did Jibreel alayhi salam ever confirm the Quran in written form during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or is it only the oral recitation that was verified by Jibreel?
Jibreel alayhi salam did not bring anything writing, or did not revise the written copy. It was all oral. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam learnt it, and immediately he taught to all the companions, and he to read the prayers. They never did mistake. It all confirmed in all. But certainly the people used to write down their own mushaf. So in the time of the Prophet, there are many, many mushafs. Either they copied from the Prophet, or they wrote what the Prophet used to teach. So there was no mistake or difference in writing or reading. So that was actually important to make sure that it is safe, it is protected, and that nothing has been added. So, amazing the way that it has been done. It's so amazing, really, from very beginning, that how Muslims preserve the Quran until now. It's the book of Allah. You can see and say, really, nobody can add anything. The way it is done, the way arranged, organized, it never can be from any human being.
Ahsanallahu ilayka, Sheikh. The next question we have is from Sister Fatiha, who has asked, Salaamu alaykum, Ya Sheikh, could you please enlighten the wisdom from Surah Taha, verse 44, about how we can avoid practicing the soft speech only to make others feel comfortable when it's not honest or true from our intention? As you mentioned in the tafsir of Surah Taha previously, the qawlan layyinan is not only meant to have the soft tone, but also to make the speech as clear as possible in order to explain something.
Thing is, people have to make, all the good things, all the values, and all the good qualities, they only come when you make effort. It doesn't come by itself. So to be soft, you need to make effort. If you only do have softness to show the people, it is hypocrisy. But if you make softness your character as command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to please Him, you know, and that is going to help the believers, yeah, it is good quality. The people always should think that whatever, you know, good quality they are going to attain, it is because it is command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is going to reward. Maybe people don't appreciate. Maybe soft word does not help people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward for that. The intention always should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then, you know, make effort, improve yourself, correct yourself. People do mistakes. Sometimes you come angry, sometimes some other mistakes. Then you realize, and then after that, correct yourself, improve yourself. That how the Prophet has been, how the companions have been. They're making effort. Good qualities, if they don't come by effort, it means there's something wrong. They must always come by effort and with the right intention behind that.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Imran, who asked, if the Injil and Torah are corrupted, then why does the Quran let people of the book judge by their books? As mentioned in chapter number 5, verse 47.
Yeah, you know, these books, first thing that people think when we say Torah and when we say Injil, they are books like the Quran. So it is not really. They are, you know, everybody, even the people who believe in Torah and the Christians and Jews, they know it many, many, you know, human thing there. You know, this history of the Jewish people, so many things. You know, this Torah now contains Torah of Musa alayhi salam, parts of it, with corruption. Same Injil includes some parts of what was revealed to Isa alayhi salam. But the many things, details are added by the people. So this is one thing we keep in mind. When Quran says, you know, ask them to read, you know, and Quran says that, you know, earlier scriptures are the same thing. Not about every matter, some matters. Something they did not, they could not corrupt everything. So the Quran says, "Fa'tu bi Tawrat, bring Torah and read it." So in certain things, Quran is very clear. Bring Torah and read it. So they can't find that. Otherwise, you know, doubt really. They, like, for example, Quran never said that among the two sons of Ibrahim, who has been slaughtered, Ishaq or Ismail. Quran never mentions very clearly. And Quran never said bring Torah, because in Torah they have corrupted. It becomes Ishaq. The Quran never refers to that. The Quran always said that, you know, bring Torah in those matters where they could not corrupt Torah, where they could not change Torah, then Quran said bring it. And until now, really, when you read, you can see the many, many things that they are same, you know, especially Tawheed, very clear. So they have corrupted somewhere. But if you read the whole Torah, you can see their corruption does not fit in that. In the, you know, both books are very clear. Worship Allah alone. So worshipping Allah is very clear from both books. So what they have changed, it is. So if people read, same actually about the prophethood of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If you read properly, you can see, you know, he's there. He has been mentioned.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. On a linked note, another question asks us that if today's Injil and Torah are not the original revelations, how should we people treat them?
You know, that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that whenever the people of the book, they say something, don't approve it and don't reject it, because we don't know really. So there are, so in this matter, we said there are three types of details in Torah and Injil. Those details which are same as in the Quran. Yeah, so then we believe, we affirm, we prove them. There are those details which contradict the Quran. They go against the Quran. Then we reject them. We know it certainly they are not from Allah. Like, you know, Allah became tired and this and that. So these things are not from Allah very clearly. So those details which I agree with the Quran, we accept. Those details which contradict the Quran, we reject. There are some details, don't agree with the Quran, they don't contradict the Quran. They are something, Quran is quiet about that. So in those matters, the Prophet said, leave them as they are. You know, if you affirm them, maybe they are wrong. And if you reject them, maybe they are from Allah. The best thing is be quiet.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Sanobar, who has asked, how can we tell if Allah is pleased with us?
you know, this thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never tells very clearly, because that will be the day of judgment. If he says now, then it will become so corrupt. It is not good for us. But you can understand from science, you know, if he helps you to pray on 5 times, fast, pay zakat, go for hajj, be nice to your parent, be nice to the people, kindness, don't hurt anybody, don't backbite, don't lie. So these are signs that he likes you, because when you're good deeds, he likes. But never certainty, because if we become certain, we become arrogant. It becomes corruption for us. It is good that we don't know really what we are. So we are scared all the time. So it's always important. Iman is between hope and between fear. Hope is that Allah will accept our deeds. And fear is maybe I did something mistake and Allah does not accept. So all the time keep bring both things, hope and fear. That will be good for believers. But if believers know that they are going, Allah is pleased with them, then they will be lazy, many people, and they can't do anything. So it's very, very important that you don't make effort to know whether Allah is pleased with you or not. Just do what He asks you. He is so generous. He will be pleased anyway. He becomes pleased with the small things. Why will not He be pleased when you obey Him, proper worship Him? If you do little things, He becomes happy. If people pray, worship Him, learn, seek His knowledge of the deen, nice to the people, certainly He will be happy.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ustad Akhlaq, who said, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. What is the point of the Day of Judgment if the grave will be like Jannah or Jahannam for people? I.e., will those who have ease in the grave can have a different judgment on the Day of Judgment?
Actually, the grave is a very different thing. So, it is not like the life of this world. It is not like the life of the Day of Judgment. It is the life of the judgment, the most complete life, most perfect life. Paradise is nobody can compare with anything. But there in between, the grave, where something from paradise, something from hell will be shown to the people. So what happens, because people who are criminal, before even, they go to the court and judges make a decree, they are in police custody, and sometimes police, investigate, and they make, sometimes they have little punishment. So that's not the real punishment. Real punishment comes when the judge has passed his ruling. So similarly, in the Day of Judgment, in this world, in the grave, if believers are punished somehow, that punishment will make the punishment of the day hereafter lighter. It is not actually a complete punishment or not complete reward. It is something of that. Not very clear. Some hadith are there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want to make it clear. That's why there is no clear verse about the grave, punishment of the grave in the Quran. Reason is because it is a life between two lives, and which is not so important for the people to know. The real thing is to learn about the Day of Judgment. But the Prophet ﷺ warned us, so we know really that once we die, it is like Qiyamah has started. So we should worry, and we should make dua, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from there. Certainly we have the need for the Day of Judgment, where things will be clear, judgment will be done, books of deed will be there, Allah will be there, nobody in between. Allah will judge everybody directly, and no injustice will be done. We need that, because without that, things will be unclear. So people need everything to be clear. And that's why Allah has made the Day of Judgment.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Sheikh Irfan, who has asked, Assalamu alaikum. Can we do a job in the bank for time being if we don't have any job with the niyyah? When we get a job at some other place, we will leave the job at the bank.
Muslims are allowed to work in the normal banks, because work is very important. And you work and you get paid. So you are, they're paying for what you are working. You don't take an interest. So they take interest. Like, for example, somebody does a robbery and then he builds a house. He asks you to help him to build and pays you. You are paid your money for your work. Where he gets money, it is his business. It is sinful. Somebody asks you to take you to buy car, buy your taxi to a certain point, and then he goes to a pub and drinks. Yeah, he'll be sinful, but you have no sin. You dropped him, you get money for your work. So when anybody works in the bank, they are paid for what they do. But what banks do, you are not responsible. They are responsible for that. Don't worry. Muslims are allowed to work in the bank. They are allowed to work with the Jews, Christians, Hindus, Sikh, anybody. As long as you do your job properly, Allah will reward you.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ustad Akhlaq again. He asked, what should those people do who have missed many prayers during their youth? How should they make it up?
You know, they have to think, calculate some calculation, it will be rough, but we don't know really, maybe 2, 3, 5, 6 years. They have to think. And then after that, do qada of all those prayers. Easy way is do one prayer with the prayer at the time. So when you pray Zuhr, do 4 rak'ah extra. When you pray Asr, 4 rak'ah extra. When you pray Maghrib, 3 more. So that will be easier for you. And we also make it easier. Until you do your qada, don't do your sunnah. Because sunnah is sunnah. Instead of sunnah, just do your fard. It become very easy. Like in Zuhr, we do sunnah anyway. So that's 4 rak'ah sunnah. Do your 4 rak'ah qada. So that will make it easier. So if somebody has missed the prayer of 10 years, so after 10 years, they would have done everything. And repent as well. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. Because it is big, big sin really. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the prayers obligatory and we don't do them on the time. Even if you do qada, still it is sin. So we have to ask Allah to forgive us.
Ahsan Allah ilayka, Shaykh. The next question is, what is by Nozem, who's asked, what is the ruling of praying while sitting on a chair? Some sheikhs say it isn't allowed, while some say it is allowed. Is it more appropriate to sit on the floor? Which is the correct opinion?
Yeah, thing is, the people who can pray while standing, they should stand. If they can't stand, then they should sit. If they can't sit, they can lie. That's how the Prophet ﷺ and the companions have been doing. In the prayer on the chair, there's no need really. Because if you can't stand, you sit on the ground, or any position. If you can't sit, lie down, that is more humility. When you sit on the chair, you look like a king. Like a minister, it is like a position. But when you sit on the ground, you are more humble. So I myself, though, when people pray on the chair, I don't say the prayer is not accepted. But personally, I don't like that. I don't like people to pray on the chair. I really prefer that people sit on the ground and they pray on the ground.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Amin, who has asked, Sheikh, how do we overcome waswasa regarding iman?
Yeah, waswasa, this come, they used to come to the companions, they come to all the good people. The ulama say, if you don't have any money in the house, no thief will come. The thieves only come when you have money. So similarly, waswasa only comes to the people who are believers. So coming of waswasa is a sign of belief, that you have a belief. But what you need to do, don't think about that. Just push it away. Don't analyze, don't go further. Force yourself to be aware. So when you force yourself, after a while, waswasa will not come to you. There's no other cure. Cure is, don't think about it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, inshallah. It is a struggle, it's not easy. It will take a month, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year. But one day it will finish, inshallah. So the best thing is, when waswasa comes, push it away.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Shahriyar, who says, why is Badr called Yawm al-Furqan? How has the day been described as a Furqan?
Yeah, Furqan means criteria, a day which distinguishes the believers from unbelievers, or false from the truth. Muslims are very, very weak, and in Mecca. They are forced to leave their houses. They come to Medina. And they're still very weak, 300 people nearly. Unbelievers are all over the world. The whole world is unbelievers. Meccans are very strong people. So they come to destroy them, and they get help from everywhere. They have weapons, they have number, they have everything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave that victory to Muslims, just a sign that they have got Allah with them. Because there was no reason for them to get victory. Because, the number is less. They don't have weapon. They don't have anything. They're poor. They can't. And they're also not encouraged, because all the surrounding areas, they're unbelievers. So, a small town, 300 people believers, rest of the world unbeliever. In that environment, to win is not easy. So that was a great help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even unbelievers, when they become Muslim later on, they said they could see the, you know, angels are there and they're helping believers. So many of those stories are there. So that why the Quran calls it, you know, Furqan. That victory made very clear that Islam is a true religion and allied with believers, and unbelievers don't have the support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is asked by someone anonymous who has asked, Muslim men are allowed to take wives from the people of the book. Quran tells us the fate of the people of the book in the Akhirah, yani Jahannam. Are there any exceptions to this warning?
You know, anybody who does not believe in Allah or make shirk, means I think that there is a partner of Allah or somebody, you know, shares Allah's attributes, then they never can enter to paradise. They could be born in Muslim family. Somebody is born in Muslim family and they become kafir, or they, you know, they do shirk, you know, associate with Allah someone, they never can enter to paradise. The same people of the book, if, you know, they have these things, they never can enter to paradise. But if the people of book, there are those who believe in Allah and they worship Him alone, and maybe for some reason Islam is not very clear to them, maybe Muslims did not teach them properly, or they did not have time to read the Quran, something like that, but they worship Allah alone, they only believe in Him, they don't believe in any other God, yeah, they could be forgiven, because Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لَمِنْ يَشَاءَ. So, and the reason, you know, women are accepted in Muslim families, because when the Christian women and Jewish women, they are Muslim families, they see their behavior, character, more likely they become Muslim, and also their relatives, they will come and meet Muslims. So those relatives also become Muslim. But it is in those conditions where Islam is practiced properly. In our time now, I don't advise. Because, you know, Muslims are weak. More likely, if they marry with non-Muslims, Christians, they become like them. So, you know, Islam will become weaker. And also, if Muslim men marry non-Muslim women, so who is going to marry Muslim women? You know, there's so much problem. So in our time, I don't advise Muslim men to marry any Christian Jewish women. They should marry Muslim women, because there's so many problems that can happen about raising children, about so many things.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question that's been asked is, how can we be humble with our ibadah when we recite Quran and do salah and to leave all traces of arrogance?
You know, arrogance should not be there. You know, just think, you know, think really that, you know, whatever we do good, it's from Allah. If Allah did not help us, we could have been like other people. And the people who we think they are lower than us, maybe in the eye of Allah, they are better than us. They do something which is better than us. So we don't know really. To always think that everybody other than me is better than me. And if Allah does not forgive me, to always be scared. I don't really think there is any need to think that we are superior to anybody. I don't understand why people think they are better than anybody. Because if you go deeply, you can see there are so many problems you have got, so many sins you do, you know, so many mistakes you have got, and other people have so many good qualities. So how you can think that, you know, you are better than anybody? Arrogance really is a very, very bad evil. Actually, the root of many, many evils. So the best thing is always to think that any good you have is from Allah. All the time, you know, thank Him, be grateful to Him, and any evil I have, that's from me. So, and think that if Allah does not forgive me, you know, I'll be in the fire, because, you know, I can't save myself. It's only Allah's forgiveness. So always people should, you know, think they are the lowest person on the face of the earth. That's why Hasan Basri used to say that when you go you leave your house in the morning and come in the evening to your house, and in between, whoever you meet, think that they are better than you. But if you think that you are better than anybody else, then you are arrogant. So arrogance, you know, most problem between husband, wife, in the family, among the friends, it all because of the arrogance. People think they are more important than others.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Maryam, who has asked, the notion of Sabilillah is repeated a lot in the Quran, but I feel like I have a very vague idea on what it means. I would like to understand it better. What does it mean by the path of Allah?
You know, in those days, path of Allah meant the people who go to fight in the path of Allah, jihad. you know, people are learning, there's a different thing. People study, people worship, people do ibadah, prayer. That is the path of Allah anyway. That is very clear that, you know, when people fast, you know, they worship Allah. But when they go to fight, do jihad, to defend Islam, that was not very clear to the people. That what Islam calls the fighting in the path of Allah, going in the path of Allah. So they have a special, you know, reward of those people. So that real meaning of the path of Allah is jihad or fighting in the path of Allah. But anything that people do to please Allah, it also is part of Allah, like the da'wah people, you know, preach or write books or teach for the sake of Allah. Intention should be for Allah. Then it also part of Allah. But the main thing is what people do, you know, when they are ready to sacrifice their lives for the for Allah, that is the best thing and that is the most important in the path of Allah.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. We're coming to the last couple of questions. I'll move to the next one. The next question is by Imran, who has asked, Sheikh, do you allow car financing since this there is an interest on monthly payments, but paying the whole amount upfront can be very expensive?
Yeah, you know, if there is interest, really, I would say that, you know, avoid if you can have another deal, because there are so many ways to buy a car. So I don't understand why people go unnecessarily to a deal where there is some interest. You know, maybe it is more convenient to you. Maybe it is better for you, get a better car. But a Muslim should, you know, think about the religion. The, you know, interest, and usually the Quran is so strong word about that. So otherwise, you avoid anything like that. And just even if you have, you know, a modest car, you know, something which is not of your standard, that's much better in the eye of Allah than having a, you know, a better car, a more expensive car with the sin.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Mahin, who has asked, what does Islam say about financial aid to women after their divorce?
Yeah, when the women are divorced, as for husband, they have duty to pay for them in the expenses and also accommodation for the waiting period. So that they must do. If there are children and the women are to raise the children, look after them, then the husband also should provide money, you know, for the for their time, because the women are giving time for the children, so they can't earn money. They should do. Other than that, there's no obligation on the husband after the divorce. And, you know, women's other relatives can help them, or women can have their own job. If they have, if there's nothing like that, then Muslim community must help them. You know, there must be a fund to help the widows or divorced women. And there are many, many like that in our society, you know, in this country, where the women really are struggling very badly. I think even the zakat can be paid to some of these women who are divorced. They're living very tough life. So Muslims should be taking care of many of these weak people of the society.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The final question for today is by Ustad Akhlaq, who has asked, in this time that we live in, should the salah be used as a form of da'wah if you have a choice between praying in a private place or in a public place with the intention that non-Muslims might see you and be interested in Islam?
You know, the real interest should be that, you know, the prayer is between you and Allah. So the main interest should be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have jama'ah, then it could be in public place. But your own prayer, if you have, you know, your own space, pray there. If you don't have space and you have no choice but to pray in public, then pray in public. Da'wah has so many different ways, you know, just to showing the prayer that the people become Muslim. That's not right way. And the Prophet never, you know, but sometimes Muslims, non-Muslims will see anyway. But the prayer not for their purpose. Prayer actually for you and your Allah. It makes, you know, when you pray, you become important in the eye of Allah. You become really elevated. You know, light comes on your face. Your manners, you know, improve. Your character improve. So when you meet unbelievers, they can see you are different from other people. So you don't need to show your prayer. But you people can see the impact of the prayer on you. That when Muslims pray, they can ask, why you are so good? Why don't you you know, do any evil when everybody else does? So you can explain to them that we believe in Allah, we pray, and prayers is tough from all those things. So they, one day they will learn anyway. So the real thing is not that you show people your deeds and your, you know, but they should see the impact of the deeds upon you. that, you know, when Muslims follow the religion, how good they become, how pious they become, how, you know, how they're better in character and manner than other people. So I advise you that, you know, don't make prayers in public just to show people. No, unless there's a need. But the intention should not be a da'wah or any showing thing. Da'wah should be done through da'wah way.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. And with that, we conclude. Jazakallahu khairan for everyone for joining us today. And inshallah, we will be back next week, Thursday, 6 p.m. GMT on the same channels. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.